Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay after a very hot weekend in Kent. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, the 29th of June. And our top story today is actually developing news regarding a major emergency response in Headcorn. Lucy joins me now with more on this. Lucy, what do we know so far?
As you say, Nicola, this is a story that's ongoing at the time of recording today's podcast, but people living on Lenham Road have told us they heard lots of sirens at about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Police and ambulance crews had arrived at the scene and set up a cordon, with other motorists being turned away. Within the story on the website, you can see video of the large-scale response. And speaking this morning, one resident told our reporter she initially thought it might be connected to yesterday's Headcorn air show, but that wasn't the case.
And what have emergency services had to say?
Well, police have confirmed 6 people have been arrested following a serious assault. Armed officers were called to reports of weapons being used, and 3 people were taken to hospital with injuries which are not thought to be life-threatening. 3 men and 3 women have been arrested and remain in custody. Meanwhile, the ambulance service say they were called to a private address. A reporter who visited the scene this morning said that a property was still cordoned off and 3 police cars were outside.
Lucy, thank you ever so much. We'll bring you more on this story in tomorrow's episode, and you'll be able to follow updates at Kent Online throughout the day.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories, and a man in his 30s has been seriously injured after a stabbing outside a pub in Maidstone. He was taken to a London hospital after police were called to the high street near the Stag in the early hours of yesterday. Another man was also treated for a cut to his arm. We've shared CCTV images of 3 people officers want to speak to. You can see them within the story at Kent Online or via our socials. A man's appeared in court accused of killing a woman and seriously injuring a child in a crash near Dover. It happened on the A256 Whitfield bypass in August 2023. Andrew Harris, who's 34 and from Highton Drive in Deal, hasn't entered any pleas yet and is due at Crown Court on July the 27th. A Folkestone man who verbally abused a police officer who tried to help him while drunk has been ordered to do unpaid work. Bobby Brady was found in Shorncliffe Road in the town in April and later charged with being drunk and disorderly. The 21-year-old from Bouverie Road West must do 130 hours of work and do rehab sessions. A thief who smashed a wine bottle during a police chase after stealing from a petrol station in Thanet has avoided prison. David Faulkner has more than 100 offences to his name and targeted the BP garage on Canterbury Road in Garlinge. The 61-year-old from Balmoral Road in Margate is already on a conditional discharge and must pay compensation. Now, next today, it's home to new college campus in Margate, with courses in things like animation and visual effects will help tackle the youth unemployment problem. A state-of-the-art digital campus has opened in the old M&S building on the High Street. It was created using Levelling Up funding and is run by EKC Group. Lucy McLeod is their chief exec.
It's extremely exciting because we've been planning it for nearly 5 years now in partnership with Thanet Council, and this has been funded by the Levelling Up Fund, and it is a digital creative campus, but also we have space upstairs for training for adults. This is not just an educational space, but we hope it will be an anchor for regeneration and a community space.
And East Thanet MP Polly Billington was also at the grand opening.
What is so brilliant about the digital campus is it shows there's a belief in Thanet, and that isn't just about the people here who believe in us, but also the government, because this is a big investment in the future of Thanet, which is our young people. Now, we've always had a strong heritage about creativity and art. That goes all the way back to JMW Turner, right up to the present day with Tracy Emin. We don't know how many Tracy Emins are here at the digital campus, ready to learn and ready to be the next generation of fantastic creatives.
As I mentioned at the start, it's hoped the digital campus will help tackle youth unemployment. Ross Buttery is head of centre.
Our students will collaborate on lots of different projects across and over lots of different areas. So it means our students are even more prepared for the industry. I mean, at this precise moment, this is one of only 2 motion capture systems in entire Kent. And in September, we'll be installing the only photogrammetry system in Kent. So the systems that we have, the equipment that we have, is far superior to anything else that exists. So the opportunities are preparing our students for industry and for the future of the new jobs that will be going out there.
Kent Online reports.
A 15-month project to secure water supplies on Sheppey is due to get underway today. Southern Water are going to be replacing 11 kilometres of pipes in Eastchurch and Laysdown. Using plastic pipes instead should reduce the number of bursts. Some road closures will be in place while it happens. Meantime, it's emerged a new block of flats in Maidstone still isn't connected to a mains water supply 6 months after people moved in. Clare House on Wharf Road in Tovell is currently fed from two large plastic water butts, which are filled by a tanker twice a week. Developers say the delay is due to issues with South East Water, who've declined to comment. Now, work to build almost 100 homes on the site of a college in Kent is starting to get underway. Developers bought land next to North Kent College in Dartford last year, and work's taken place to demolish several redundant buildings. The site's now being prepared for 3, 4 and 5 bedroom properties. An historic house on the plot will also be converted into flats. Meantime, if you live in Gravesend, you're being asked what you think about plans for 500 homes on the site of a car park. The Lord Street facility has been described as an empty and underutilised brownfield site. A developer is proposing rental properties along with shared facilities, including a gym, dance studio, cafe and bar. And residents have raised concerns about plans for more homes in part of Kent where 9,000 are already being built. Several developments have been proposed for the King's North area in Ashford, including more than 5,000 properties at Chilmington Green. Well, the latest application is for 175 homes on a 19-acre site off Ashford Road, which residents are worried will put more pressure on water supplies, traffic and health services.
Kent Online reports.
We've got some more education news now, and a secondary school in Kent is celebrating being given one of Ofsted's rarest new ratings. The Howard School in Raynham has become the first secondary in the county to receive an exceptional judgment under the new inspection framework. Under the system, schools are assessed across a range of categories rather than receiving a single overall grade. It was awarded for personal development and wellbeing. Inspectors from Ofsted and the Care Quality Commission are visiting Kent County Council next month to evaluate services for children with special educational needs and disabilities. The review follows a previous improvement notice. Council leaders say they have made considerable progress. Now, a play based on teenagers' real-life experiences with social media is being performed by students in Canterbury later. Generation FOMO uses direct quotes from interviews with young people about some of the issues they face online. It was written by Isabel Defoe.
This time it will be performed by the students of Canterbury Academy. And there's something really powerful about hearing 17-year-olds speak those lines. We're urging parents to come in particular. It's really, you know, the children know this story. It's really for parents and educators to come because I think it's a great springboard for those conversations. I've had parents say to me before, you know, they've had conversations on the way home from the theatre in the car that they've never had before, because the play does talk about, you know, talks about porn, it talks about unsolicited pictures, it talks about, they cover lots of topics, all topics that were brought up by young people, not myself, you know. And alongside my work with Whitstable Unplugged and Portrait, we've been working really hard at kind of getting that message across all over Kent with the tours that we've been doing. We've been also working with Whitstable Unplugged with creating a pledge with 20 schools now around the Canterbury district that are all pledging to go truly smartphone free together. So we've been working really hard with schools and young people together to kind of get this message out.
Fascinating stuff. It's on at the Gulbenkian Theatre this evening and comes ahead of a social media ban for under 16s, which is due to start next year. Meantime, the podcast has been hearing about the importance of providing activities for teenagers in Kent ahead of that social media ban coming into force. The government is planning to stop under 16s using apps like Instagram and Snapchat, which currently are incredibly popular with younger people. Well, House in the Basement Youth Cafe in Seven Seven Oaks will be running free events, including a skateboarding competition and beach trip over the summer holidays. And Josh has been chatting to Darren Mountain, who's the manager there.
There's several different things going on this summer. We've got Dungeon and Dragons sessions. We've got fishing sessions. We've got a trip to Broadstairs, which will cost the young person just £5, but they get a free ice cream with that. We've got a skateboarding competition at Greatness Park called Skate Ness. All these things are happening in the August holidays. And we've also got some girls skateboarding sessions as well.
Lots going on. It's important, first of all, to have activities and opportunities like this for young people, particularly outside of the school holidays, outside of the school terms.
Yeah, very much so. So we run all sorts of things during term time as well. We're open here at House in the Basement 4 days a week. One of those nights is a special educational needs night. But so we run workshops all through the year, as well as opportunities for young people to volunteer, whether they're doing a Duke of Edinburgh's course or whether it's a volunteer thing that they need to do with their school. But yeah, especially through the summer holidays, we open longer hours anyway as a youth cafe, but we do offer a number of workshops and a number of trips.
And with the social media ban that's been announced this week as well and potentially coming into place from next year, it's massively important for young people to have a safe place to go, to meet new people and to keep their minds and bodies active.
Yeah, very much so. We did a piece of work last year when it was muted about a social media ban and looking also at what had gone on in Australia and other countries in Europe. And we asked young people, you know, their thoughts about social media being protected for them and for them to be able to use that space. And some also could see actually some of the harm as well as the good that comes about through social media. So I think it's really good that there's been pieces of work done looking into what effect social media has had on young people over the last couple of decades. Certainly as a youth worker with over 40 years experience, I've really noticed how social media and the internet, especially now that it's so easily and readily available. It's not like maybe 10 or 15 years ago when you had to dial up and ask mum whether you could go on for half an hour. You know, now it's just so easily accessible, especially on their phones. And I think there's lots of positives and lots of good about that, but there's also lots of negatives as well. And I think the amount of time that's spent on screen time that's spent by young people is having a real impact on not only their mental health, but their ability to be able to socialise with each other. I think it'll be interesting to see how the government implement this and how they govern this. I think young people initially will find a way around this, but I think it's good it's being flagged. And I think really it's important that parents and carers take this on board and say, actually, we've got a big part to play in this. If the government is recognising this as something that's not overly healthy all the time, then we need to participate as parents and, you know, manage the screen time of our young person.
So having these events going on is hugely important, but making them cost effective, free, or particularly, you know, just a couple of pounds you mentioned with some of those trips as well, is going to make a huge difference and make it easily accessible for so many more young people.
Yeah, I think opportunities to be able to get out and about and do things, you know, rather than just necessarily being stuck indoors is really helpful. We've got a broad range of young people coming from all sorts of socioeconomic backgrounds. You know, for some of them, the money's not necessarily an issue, but for some it really is. So having those free activities provided by Seven Oaks Town Council in partnership with lots of other people is really helpful. And, you know, even with our £5 charge just to come to Broadstairs, you know, if it's a problem, we just waive that financially.
And finally, the boss of a takeaway in Thanet insists standards have improved after food hygiene inspectors found raw kebabs stored in a mouldy wooden box. Queen's Kebab in Ramsgate was given a one-star rating following the visit in April. They also raised concerns about cross-contamination risks and poor cleaning. We're told the kitchen has been reorganised and staff retrained.
Kent Online Sport.
On to cricket now, and Kent have bounced back from Friday's defeat with a victory over Hampshire in the T20 Blast. Daniel Bell Drummond scored 54 runs and the Spitfires reached their victory target of 177 with 8 balls to spare. It's part of the cross-group stage. Kent are currently third in the South team table. Well, our sports reporter Mac Panting has been chatting to Kent captain Sam Billings.
Great game, I thought. The character we've shown throughout that kind of bowling in the innings to restrict them after the start they got, I thought we did really well. Grant Stewart hasn't necessarily bowled too many overs this year, but to bowl 4 on the spin from this end, get 4 for, really was quality. And, you know, as a team, it's all about adapting. We had to kind of find overs from all over the place today. The conditions were so kind of bizarre, really, actually, with the wind going howling down that way. So I thought the boys did fantastically well. Matt Milnes has just been incredible in all formats since he's come back to the club, and just so composed at the top of his mark. So yeah, in the past there was a Milne which kind of fit that role of defensive overs, and Matt is kind of really filling those shoes. So I thought, yeah, all the bowlers did really well to kind of keep us in the game and keep us to a manageable total, I thought.
When you look at that performance, is that a case of you're pleased that you're learning and you've made improvements in the gamesmanship or the batsmanship from the previous matches, or is it a case of it just makes it even more frustrating where you've come up short in some of the other games?
No, it's always learning. You've got to look forward, of course. You've got to be honest in terms of reflection, which we are every single time. But yeah, to get the result and, like you said, learn from that kind of previous disappointment, I thought it was brilliant today. And I mean, great to, just a note on Daniel Bell Drummond, you know, he's been a quality player for such a long period of time in all formats, but especially this format for us. So it's just great to see him look like he's enjoying his batting again, back into his groove, and found his rhythm as well. I think, you know, he changed a few things. He triggers in this format, whereas the four-day stuff he doesn't. And, you know, looking at old footage, going back to what he does really well, I think in T20 cricket it's so important to do that. You know, it's a confidence game, and you've got to be really clear of what you're good at in this format. And yeah, like I said, it's just great to see him back to his best.
You mentioned Harry Finch as well. Some people saying, was he batting too slowly at a run rate, or did you need that glue to hold it all together?
I did have a word with him out there. I mean, he's such a good scooper of the ball. And it's, again, you know, sometimes, you know, things can get on top of you out there. But when you kind of talk things through, you know, sometimes you need someone just to have a conversation and, yeah, okay, fine. Even getting one away for 2, it changes the whole makeup of the over for the bowlers. And it's a learning process, you know. If you lose the game, of course, that's what comes under the microscope. But thankfully, that's not an issue. And we ended up winning that pretty comfortably. So Harry's been in unbelievable form this year. He's been hitting the ball so well. He ultimately still got a 40-plus score and in a 50 partnership, so contributed hugely. But he's a smart guy. He's always keen to learn, and he'll be aware that, you know, there's always areas that you can look at and improve. But like you said, that glue on a tricky pitch was really important today.
And 4 wins and 4 defeats now, and 4 to play. Do you have any idea what you're going to actually need to get through?
One game at a time. This third spot as well, there's only 2 out of 3. Yeah, we'll see. But ultimately, it's just we've got to win most of our games. So it's pretty clear what we need to do. So yeah, looking forward to it. That's what you want to do. You want to be in contention at the back end of the tournament.
Elsewhere, it's the start of Wimbledon today, but Kent's Emma Raducanu won't be playing. The British number one from Orpington has withdrawn as her leg injury has turned into a stress fracture. And an 81-year-old man from Kent has won a national powerlifting competition. David Wallace, who lives in Hildenborough, was the oldest in his weight category, but came away with gold. He says he's hooked on the competition and is hoping to defend his title next year. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.